So before we start, man, I was saying that I felt like we broke through another level in worship. Do you understand what I mean when I say that? You do, sort of? Okay. It has nothing to do with, like, there's this ceiling and on the other side is God, and you know, with our worship we broke that ceiling. It's not like a physical thing, okay? It usually has to do with something inside of us that has to get out of the way or be laid down. Right? And when we say we broke through another level, what I mean is we broke through another level of ourselves and the part of us that is inhibited in its ability to just accept who he is, the goodness of God, and then tell him who he is and love him, right? And I want to encourage you, when you do a good job, you know, they say when a good behavior is called out and spoken to, then it continues. And I want to see that good behavior continue. And this is the good behavior, that Jesus becomes more and more glorified, right? And so it, I mean, that's why we do this, right? Because we could just, and I'll call you a second, but we could just all put on YouTube videos and just like do, if that's what this was about. We do five songs, that we hear a lesson, then we go home. That's not what this is about. This is about like really giving him over more of ourselves, right? And so, man, I'm calling it out because I want you to take note of this moment, this line in the sand that you stepped across. Maybe you didn't, no shame in it. Do it next week. Love him more. Express it more. Let your worship come out, right? The woman who poured the oil on Jesus before his death, you know, it was her most costly worship. And that's what we're here to offer. We're not here to give him our cheap stuff. You know what I mean? He doesn't deserve our cheap stuff. Megan, what were you going to say? Let me grab you a mic. Cool. Well, they still want to hear it on the internet, people.
It's just like what you were praying about before we started worshiping, just being able to put everything aside and just
Yes.
focus on him.
Amen. Amen. So to those of you who were able to do that, congratulations, you've leveled up. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, we love you. And as we've said so many times this morning, we enjoy being in your presence. And Lord, I ask that as we open up your word, that you will make it come alive and make it come into our life in a way that will transform us. Lord, we want to be more like you. We don't want to be satisfied with where we're at, although we appreciate where we're at, God, because of you, because of your goodness in our life. But Lord, there's so much more. There's so much more that we can to lay down and that we can enter into until, Father, the world just sees and experiences Jesus in us. And so to that end, Father, we open our eyes and our hearts to our best ability, but Lord, we ask you to do it as well and speak to us and take us anywhere you want us to go in your scriptures today, Father. It's your world. We just live here. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So last week, I tried to preach this sermon and we got off on something else, which was lots of fun. And we were talking about the guidelines of a church service and how all of us can collectively enter into that. And if you weren't here, I encourage you to go online and watch it. That's the benefit of being recorded. It was cool because we basically wanted to say, like, the body of Christ is supposed to do the work of ministry, right? And pastors, evangelists, prophets, teachers, apostles, our job is to equip you to do the work of ministry, right? So if guys like me are doing all the work and people like you are coming and you sit and you say, "That was nice," or maybe you say, "Oh, I didn't really like that," then we just wasted everybody's time, right? It wasn't about being nice or about, it's right? You're not the judge of a show. You're the one who, you are the show, right? And Jesus is the center stage. And together, we're doing this concert all together, right? And so you come asking him as you're in the car instead of fighting with family or yelling at children or trying to worry about if your mascara is on straight, you know, like we're really asking, "Lord, is there something in my life that you want to use or some words you want to say, or is it just the way I embrace somebody today? But could you just highlight to me the person or the people, and then I come to give," right? That's the you come to give to other people in the room, not to sit like attending a university. "I'm here to pass this class. I'm going home now." Right? All right, cool. So that was the preview for the rerun if you want to go watch it. We're in a study about being disciples. It really felt like this was an important thing to go into, especially coming out of a series about hearing his voice, because once you hear, you have to start walking, right? And that's what a disciple is. A disciple is a follower of Jesus, right? He's the teacher, we're the learner, we're the disciple, the learner. And with every class you've ever taken or any piece of information you've ever learned from a teacher, there's always a test that follows and periodic tests along the way to help you know whether or not you are learning to apply that knowledge, right? Not just reading pages 15 through 24, right? Who cares, right? Until if you can't use it, what good is it? What good is information? And so disciples as learners are doers, because what they absorb, they do, right? It's okay. It's her church too. Okay, I'm going to take you away. So the purpose of this series, as we're learning to follow him, is to understand that there's a fullness that we've been called to as disciples, a fullness in Christ, not just, you know, this eternity that we're being called to one day, but there's a fullness today, right? And we're not perfect, so we haven't experienced everything there is to experience, and yet he's calling us into that. And, you know, Jesus, he has commands, and we're going to talk about that today, we're going to talk about the blessing of obedience, which means he's offering commands, right? Which, if I was to say, let's all give a big applause to holiness, a lot of Christians wouldn't clap, right? Because holiness scares people. Holiness chases people. Holiness draws lines. I mean, heck, holiness even comes in the middle of politics. I mean, it just, what are you talking about, right? And it crosses over and scares a lot of believers. And what I want to bring things back to as we talk about holiness and obedience is that Jesus came to bring life, healing, and freedom wherever he went, right? And so when he gives commands, it is to bring life and healing and freedom. It's not to put us under a thumb and just say, I told you to live like this, and you do it, right? He's a good father, not an abuser, right? Amen. Amen. You shake that rattle. And when we obey, we do it out of wholehearted love in response to who he is, not out of some religious obligation. If there's anything in your life you're doing specifically out of religious obligation, and I hope you guys know what that is, yes? Duty of any kind, chuck it. Don't do it that way or change your attitude. But don't bring God your half-hearted, right? Fix the attitude. That will take you so much further. Cool? So this morning I was just sort of praying about this and I was just impressed on this subject of 2 Kings 5, and I don't have a slide for it because, you know, I guess the Holy Spirit's done with slides today. You got to bring out your Bibles and do it the old rusty way. And this is the story of Naaman when Naaman was cleansed or healed of leprosy in the days of Elisha. Are you familiar with the story? This soldier from another nation, not from Israel, it has leprosy, but the king of that nation loves this soldier because he's you know, accomplished general, sends him to Israel because he hears there's a guy who could potentially heal him, right? And so this guy shows up at this prophet's house expecting to be healed, and it actually says in the Bible that Elisha didn't even leave his house. He sent his servant to bring the message. Oh, just dunk yourself 7 times in the Jordan River and you'll be healed, okay? And that's where I wanted to pick up, and that's 2 Kings 5, verse 11. It says, Naaman became angry and stalked away. I thought he would surely come out to meet me. I expected him to wave his hand over my leprosy and call on the name of his Lord and heal me. Right? I mean, have we ever had that attitude when it comes to something the Lord is calling on us to live in obedience to? You know what I'm talking about, right? I expected him to come out and wave his magical hands in my life, and I would be free of that desire, right? It draws me. It calls to me. It's my fight, and I don't want it anymore, and I just want him to magically make it all disappear, right? You fill in the blank. I'm not here to to judge, right? And you know, he actually had an argument. He was like, aren't the rivers in my nation, the Abana, the Pharpar, and Damascus, better than all the rivers in Israel's put together? Why should I wash in this one and be healed? Like, why this one, right? It's obedience. That was where the healing was in. It was in the obedience. Yeah, let me make a point and then I'll call you. But really, I want to get to this concept that sometimes healings come in moments of prayer, okay? So don't let this ever take that away. Sometimes healings are miraculous and they unfold like right before your eyes. Sometimes healings are progressive and we pray and then suddenly breakthrough happens, right? And then sometimes healing just comes in good old-fashioned obedience. There's a blessing that follows obedience, amen? All right, let me come over here for internet people.
So in my study of the body and diseases in my work, I read an article that there was a scientist working over in the Middle East, and the Jordan River is considered one of the dirtiest rivers.
It wasn't you.
And anyway, this scientist was actually finding that there was, because there was so many people using that river and there was actually human feces going into that river, that there was bacteria growing in that river that actually had the potential to cure all these different diseases. And so this particular scientist was gathering these bacteria out of the river and harvesting in petri dishes and actually using it to cure people. So, you know, God knows things that are there even if we don't. So I think, you know, the prophet telling the soldier, go dunk yourself in the Jordan River, you know, he obviously knew of the bacterial content of that river long before any scientist
sure.
did. So, yeah. You know, that's why sometimes the things don't make sense that mm-hmm. he tells us to do, but it's the right thing.
Amen. Yep. Amen. Yep. Yep. What's cool about this one is that when he came up out of the river, his skin was as new as a baby child, it says. And so, you know, it was like this, right? But sometimes healing comes through steps of obedience. And the more you're stepping into it, then things begin to fall away, right? It's a simple concept, but it's a great one. And some of us are standing on this side of that argument, and we demand our right to understand before we obey. And the Lord is like, I'd like for you to step and trust me. And we're like, I would like for you to explain yourself. I would ask you the question, who wins? But I think the more important question is, who loses? It's us. We lose when we hold back and we are like, you know, like what do we gain besides a feeling of independence? Amen? Amen. So now I bet you you're wondering, should I pull out a list and should I write down all the bad things about myself and then I should point to one and pick which one I should work on? You know what's wrong with that whole thing? Too many eyes. Too many eyes, right? And what we want to be sensitive to is that the Holy Spirit's job is to convict. Now, so John 16, verse 7 through 9, Jesus was talking about leaving to heaven and the disciples were grieving. But he said, in fact, it's better for you that I go away, because if I don't, the advocate, the Holy Spirit, won't come. But if I do, then I will send him to you. And he, when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of coming judgment. And the world's sin is that it doesn't believe in me. So this idea is that the Holy Spirit's job is to convict. And so I have to believe that the same Holy Spirit that led me to Christ, led you to Christ, right, is going to continue being the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. The heart of God is to help lead us to the freedom by leading us out of sin, right? Is that he will convict us and lay upon our heart things that he wants to set us free from, right? And while we live by grace, that's not our excuse. And so there are times where in our life we've gone through seasons or maybe even years of activities, and then suddenly the Lord's like, not okay. Well, why? Because I said so. I have some freedom and healing and life and blessing, and I just want you to trust me, and I want you to step out. Hey, let go. and stop holding the control. So like some of it's like, but I want you to show me a sign. Okay, I saw the sign. Show me another sign, right? I don't believe it, right? Yeah, so my job really is not to sit here and tell you, write down things you don't like about yourself and change them. It's just ask right now, sit in the silence of as you're in this moment, just say, Holy Spirit, does 100% of my life please you? And is there any dark corner that you want to turn some lights on? Just sit. Don't sit in shame. Don't sit on your butt. Let him have it, right? Release the control. It doesn't mean you're going to be done with a struggle tomorrow. It usually means that's where it starts. But that's a good thing, because prior to that moment, there was no struggle, and that's scary. When you are not struggling and you're just satisfied with sin in your life, and you're making excuses, and you're making, you know, some kind of cultural acceptance for, then you're really in trouble. Yes, and when I say you're really in trouble, that does not mean that God is on the throne angry. What that means is you are cutting off life and freedom from your life, and he wants us to walk in freedom and in truth and in holiness, right? Okay. All right. If you do this thing out of fear, you're missing the point. 1 John 4:18 tells us that perfect love casts out fear. We don't approach God out of the fear, although yes, right? I mean, we have to have the fear of the Lord. It's the beginning of wisdom, and our God is an all-consuming fire. But you know, we don't walk by daily fear of our God. We live and we respond to the love of God. So here's my best analogy. It's not perfect, okay? But so everybody, you know, rides in a car, right? All right. Now, if you drive improperly, disobediently, you've got a lot to fear, right? The cost is high. I mean, on a good day, it's a ticket. On a bad day, you could kill somebody, right? Put yourself in the hospital. However, you face that fear. Do you think about that as you're driving? Like, every mile, are you thinking, oh my gosh, ticket, oh my gosh, accident, ah! I hope not. That would be torture. You're thinking about where you need to go, right? Yes? Okay, so the benefit of the progress you are making, the accomplishment, the choice to drive safely overcomes the fear of, oh my gosh, I could crash and die, or I could kill somebody, or I could just get a ticket, right? Okay, but both are valid. And both exist. And there's a moment where you look down at your speedometer and you're like, oh my gosh, I was toned out and I'm doing 20 over the speed limit, right? And you just slow down and get back on course, right? And yes? Why are you laughing? Okay. So you get what I'm saying? So as we're living this life with our God, we understand that he's an all-consuming fire. We understand that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and judgment is a real thing, right? But we don't walk every step of this relationship with him with, oh my gosh, I'm gonna go to hell. I'm gonna be judged. Oh my gosh, he hates me. Oh my gosh, I'm making him sad. Oh my gosh, I'm abusing the grace of God. Oh my gosh, I'm putting Jesus on the cross again. I mean, have you heard all those things? Yeah. Right? For goodness sakes, just like, no, it's the benefit of where I'm going that keeps me where I'm going. And I'm going closer and closer into his heart, right? Closer and closer into his grace. I'm more and more like him, and just keep driving, right? We can do this, right? We can do this. So it becomes our joy to obey and serve. And like the woman who poured out the perfume on Jesus, it's like our most costly expression of worship on him, you know? Right? Here's something else I want to point out, that not all calls to obedience mean that something is wrong, sinful, or bad in your life. Sometimes God is just making room for a point of transition. Right? And if you live in this thing that he wants you free of or whatever, like, it's not meaning that that thing is simply sinful. It can just be, I need to free up capacity for new impact. Right? And sometimes it's You know, so we got these two different things. They're very similar. Transition, metamorphosis, okay? So transition being going from here to there. Metamorphosis says, I may not be going anywhere. I might be feeling stuck, but when I come out of this, I will be a different creature, right? Here's my cocoon. When I come out of this thing, I'm no longer a worm or a caterpillar, right? I'm a butterfly. Right? I'm no longer this little tadpole. I'm a frog. That's all right. We're loving the show. So anyways, the Lord is calling us sometimes into greater and greater steps of obedience. So don't beat yourself up if you suddenly feel like he's put a challenge on your life for change or a fresh commitment or a new level of generosity. And I'm not just talking about like giving at church. I'm just saying like maybe he wants you to use your time to really bless a certain person or, you know, and you just sense this, you know this, and it's like, but it wasn't on my heart yesterday, and why are you doing this? And I'm going to ignore it and see if it goes away, and it doesn't go away. Well, transition or metamorphosis. He's either changing your world or he's changing you, right? And both are good things, and both lead to greater impact, greater relationship, because we get to find him on the other side of that struggle. Until then, until you take a step in obedience, you don't get to know him on that level. You get to know him on this level, which is where you are declaring you will go no further, right? Right? Yeah, this is good. I don't care what you think. It's good. He can call us to unfamiliar places and activities, but really, it's not about what's next, Jesus. Where are you going next? It's who are you in this moment and who are you going to show yourself to be? Right? And for some of us, we're just begging him to be our deliverer over and over and over and over for years. Right? And instead of knowing him as something else, like maybe the victor or the healer or the restorer or the provider, we're so busy hung up on, I need you to deliver me. Wait, I'm waiting. Well, stop waiting. Go know him as the deliverer. Don't just wait for him to come and show him. You know what I mean? Step into deliverance. Pursue it. Seek it. Right? What's that?
He wants action.
He wants action. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, matter of fact, the thing he didn't like in Revelations 2 was the lukewarm church. He's like, if you're cold, I can move you. If you're warm, I can move you. If you're lukewarm, there's no motion. There's nothing. I can't, right? Yeah. Think about judo. If you know anything about judo, you can throw someone as long as there's energy and motion. But when someone just sits there like a rock, there's nothing to do, right? Just hit them. All right. okay. All right. Your yes to Jesus shows that you love him. So I do have a slide for 1 John 2:2-6. He himself, Jesus, is the sacrifice that atones for our sins, and not only our sins, but the sins of the world. And we can be sure that we know him if we obey his commandments. You see that? And you know what I really fear for people is when they stop obeying and then they're not sure if they know him. That's like such an ugly place to just sit, right? If you're there, pass through. Don't buy a house. Hey, Roy, it's good to see you over there, man. Just pass through. Don't buy real estate. If someone claims, I know God, but doesn't obey God's commands, that person's a liar and not living in the truth. Okay? If you just felt like the voice of the accuser just called you a liar, then recognize this. He is the accuser, and the Holy Spirit's not calling people liars. The Holy Spirit is freeing people of lifestyle of lies, but he's not calling people liars. That's not, it's like he's the God who calls things that are not as though they are. And so, you know, what you would find is the Holy Spirit is going to say, you are like Christ and you don't lie. You walk in the truth as I am in the truth. You walk in the light and you have fellowship with me and you can't do those things anymore because that's not who you are, right? And that's where you're like, oh my gosh, I got to let go of lying. I got to stop people pleasing. I got to stop covering up. I just got to be in the light, right? Don't listen to the voice that just says you're a liar and you suck. Okay. And fill in the blank. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. And really, that's the word I want for our day, you know, completely. Jesus, let my life be completely in love with you, right? Not partially, not half-heartedly, right? And if that stands out to you, just highlight it, underline it in your Bible. I want my life to be completely yours. So walk with me. Walk with me through this next step of obedience in my life, and don't let me dig my heels in, right? That's how we know we're living in him, and those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. So how do you know you're done? When you altogether look like Jesus. Which tells me that it's never ending, which tells me that God is really excited about revealing different aspects of who he is to you throughout the rest of your life. That his, you know, his nature is just to keep revealing. And because we don't understand the height, the depth, the width of the love of God in Christ Jesus, I mean, there's just infinite opportunity to learn, right? So that brings me to something here. If you feel like you've stagnated in your relationship with Christ and you feel like you just can't seem to get out of this spiritual place you're in or this headspace you're in, it's more than likely a clue that you're supposed to surrender something else. I paused for effect. Can I? All right, I'm back. Yeah, you didn't want to hear that one. Isaiah. Isaiah 51, 7 through 8. This is specifically to point out for those of you who are like, want to know a little bit more. Yeah, sometimes obedience is actually painful. Yeah. All right. I'm just going to call it out. But in Isaiah's time, Isaiah said, "Listen to me, you who know right from wrong, you who cherish my laws in your hearts. Do not be afraid of people's scorn, nor fear their insults. For the moth will devour them as it devours clothing. The worm will eat them as it eats wool. But my righteousness will last forever. My salvation will continue from generation to generation." This is just to point out one simple fact, and that is you may find yourself surrounded in some way by a culture that will oppose your decision. And I don't just mean an American culture. It could be a culture within your workplace. It could be a culture within your family environment, right? Oh my gosh, I gotta say it. You may find it in your church, right? Wherever you are, you could find it. And there's a culture of people who are going to push against your inner belief, but you know, those people will turn their back on you in a heartbeat if they think that you are not living life the way that they expect you to, and who cares about pleasing them? Right? Psalm says, ignore your family, honor your husband, he cares for you. Right? For that's for some of us who may have grown up in a world where family actually called us crazy for following him, like, right? My poor dad, he broke away. All of his brothers and sisters are like drunk and drugs and their life is falling apart. And you know, my grandparents are calling him the crazy one. Right? Like the brokenness is normal. The misery is where we belong. Stop trying to get out of line, right? That's the world. And when you push that and you show them that their misery doesn't have to be miserable, and you show them there's hope and there's freedom and there's life and there's healing, and they're mad at you because you would dare step outside of that, then they're going to force back to you, well, you must be wrong because, and then now we start seeing it being, I mean, I don't want to turn this into political, so please, but you could be labeled something just for choosing to say, I'm not going to subscribe to that life, right? And that could be anything. So please don't think I'm trying to politically preach, because you know you wanna cut back on any activity that, or not take part in it. In your little microculture, they're gonna be mad. Yeah, true. So I love Isaiah because he's like, hey, listen to me. If you cherish what I say, right, don't be afraid of them and their insults. He didn't say, I will shut their mouth and that their insults will, you know, never be spoken. No, actually, hey, they're coming. Just don't worry about it, right? Matter of fact, what I actually see here in this prophecy is that they will be devoured, right? And what we're talking about is worms and stuff. What does that indicate? Rot, which is death, right? Which means you may have to put up with these people for a lifetime. Right? Right? There's a refining process that's happening when you take a step in holiness, and that doesn't mean you're trying to make them become holy, like do what I do because I'm better than you. Like you choose for you, as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord, and you take a step like that, and they resist you, just be understand, that's part of the refining process. God is not removing them on purpose. He's going to let you be surrounded by that because he wants to show, like, your light is under pressure because it actually grows you, right? And it shows them where you're walking in freedom and they're not, right? Wherever there's a place where God is, that means there's somewhere that he, you know, kind of isn't, and that's in darkness. And so light pierces through darkness, and now darkness has to look at it. Yes, your hand went up really fast, so I'll...
Also know that he didn't promise us perfection for following him. So part of what Isaiah is showing us is in this life to also not be afraid to be vulnerable when things don't go well, right? Because heartache and despair and obstacles are going to come our way as Christians too. But what we can show the world and how we can disciple to them is how we overcome those obstacles with faith and hope and, you know, just not letting the world drag us down, right? So when we're part of that refinement, that vulnerability as Christians is incredibly important, that we're able to step out and show that, you know, following and walking with him doesn't mean that I'm free of, you know, everything that the world is going to throw at me.
Amen. Yeah, very good point. Just making a stop off of the trash can. Good word. So the Lord is looking for people who are willing to follow him where he's going. Right? When we were babies, when we first invited Jesus into our life, we were like, come into my life, right? And he did. He was so faithful. He came into our life. And now he's saying, hey, come into my life. Step into my life. And that's how you know if you're stuck in some level of immaturity spiritually is when you're not willing to step into his life, right? Just chew on that. We are not people who get to follow the Holy Spirit and at the same time we say we're following him, and but yet we're trying to squeeze fit Jesus into our agenda. Right? He said, forsake it all, follow me. Do not be afraid of their scorn. Sometimes it shows that God expresses relevant encouragement to us as we step into new levels of obedience. So what I'm trying to point out here is people were cherishing his laws in a culture that was idol worshiping and had wanted nothing to do with Father God, right? And Isaiah was the guy calling people back. There's life over here. Come back, right? Right? And so there's a group of people who are loving serving God in a culture that was ultimately against serving him, right? And so God invaded that discouraging atmosphere with a moment of encouragement, okay? So now I'm talking less about the verse itself and more about the heart of God and for you to open your ears and begin to search for the encouragement that the Holy Spirit wants to offer. Just start asking him, Holy Spirit, bring on your encouragement for this step of holiness that you're calling me to. I need to know, like in Isaiah's day, when you said, listen, right? Listen, don't be afraid of their scorn, right? In your world, well, Holy Spirit, I need you to visit me right now with peace and joy and wisdom, and I need to show an encouragement and show me where I might be like getting a little frayed on the edges and thinking about compromises where I shouldn't. Help me to hear your voice say once again, listen, don't be afraid of that stuff, ignore it and keep moving, right? He's a God of encouragement. That's his heart. That's who he is. Yeah, Judy.
One of the most encouraging things in that verse is where he said, well, the moths will eat them and the worms will eat them. So basically, whatever was going on was going to be temporary.
Yes.
But righteousness and salvation would be forever.
Correct. Amen. 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 So you can't take anything from this life with you, but you can take your relationship, and that goes through eternity, right? Amen. Amen. There's a comfort in knowing that when pain is happening in transition, that as we step out into that obedience, you know, there can be a process by which the Lord needs to sort of walk you through. And here's the thing. Sometimes you have to grieve. That's okay. Don't tell yourself that you don't deserve to grieve, or, you know, when a transition is happening, right? It's okay. Grieve. Mourning, surrender, letting go. I mean, it's natural, and do it. Don't fight it. Just pour out your heart to him, but dang it, let it go, right? With every one of those visits, let it go. Leave it with him and just keep pouring it to him and let him walk you through that process. Now, Daryl, what are you talking about? You know, there are certain behaviors that actually take a detox period. Physically? Sometimes emotionally, sometimes neurons in the brain have to learn to refire without certain activity, right? Sometimes it's your whole identity is wrapped up in your thing, and the Lord's like, well, I don't want your identity to be wrapped up in that. Let's get rid of it, right? And then you feel naked. Ah! Right? And this is that thing. I'm just like, hey, grieve it. Grieve it. You know, grieve. Okay, identity loss. Okay, you know, neurons, emotions, right? Needs. I have needs. I don't get my needs met, so I fill it with over here in the dirt. Well, let go of it. Now I don't feel my needs again, right? I feel empty. I feel cravings. Well, okay, walk through the cravings. Walk through the grief. Let him have it. Let him become the one who enters that place, and then he delivers, he heals. Let him, right? Blessings follow obedience. They don't follow do-it-yourself disobedience. And here's the last thing I'm going to talk about. These folks up here on the Isaiah screen, all the your critics, okay? You are a wellspring. You are a source of life and hope to them. Even though they hate you, you are a refreshing well. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. And they may not take advantage of that today, but there will be a day where they will be broken. And they're going to need something, and they may not even know what they need, but guess where they know they can find a refreshing source of life and hope? Okay. It's in the idiot they've been making fun of all this time. Yeah. Yeah. Right? Because they're going to realize that what they were doing is not working. Yeah. What's that? Be the one. I got two encouragements that I want to just, no, actually three that I want to say to you so that you can hear it. Let it ricochet in your mind, and then we will pray. But encouragement number one, you will look back on the other side of this refining process and realize that your wrestling is over and that you are so in love, so free, and so connected that you're grateful for that process. I didn't put these on magnets, so... Everybody's got stainless steel nowadays. It doesn't stick anyways. All right. Even when you do not understand, all that you need to cling to is Jesus. Don't let your right to understand this process stop you from the call to obey and to trust. Right? And then number three, and this is for those of you who are standing at the edge wondering if it's possible. Yes, pray that the joy outweighs the pain in obedience because of who he is. Okay, who he is. Who is Jesus showing himself to be for you, in you, and through you right now? Is he showing himself to you that he wants to be protector, deliverer, healer, restorer, father, overcome, provider? There are realms of who God is that you will never encounter or understand without walking through this journey with him. Say it a different way, there are realms of him that you will encounter as you step in to the place he's leading. Yeah. Praise God, huh? Strike that honor. He's just so good, huh? So, you know what, I normally we would do our like groupie prayer thing, and I don't sense that today, okay? And I don't want this to become a heavy moment, because the fact is the Lord wants to reveal himself to us in fresh ways, and that's a celebration. So, but please don't, you know, just sit here and I'm trying to think, Holy Spirit, what do you want to do? All right, I'll tell you what. If anyone wants to stay afterward and just like pray, I'm going to ask for a couple of us. You know, Alex, Marguerite, would you be available? I don't know, Adam, if he's still in the room or if he left. He might have got out when the getting's good. He did? All right, is Chris here? Okay, David or... Paul, where's Paul's here? Okay, we'll make ourselves available. We won't just go into conversation, but you know, if you really want to pray through something, the process of releasing, we'll do that. But I'd like to just open up this time to pray, and you guys just, if you have to, tune me out and have your own conversation with the Holy Spirit. But here we go. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for a fresh reminder of being a disciple means following. Means learning, and also means letting go. Lord, I'm so thankful that you've been so patient and kind with us in all of our imperfection. I'm so thankful that you didn't dump perfection upon us all at once, as if we better get it right or this thing is over. I'm so grateful that you've given us seasons of grace, and then you bring upon us seasons of conviction and change and transformation. I'm so grateful that you bring about seasons of freedom, God, where we get to experience you on the other side of a transition or a metamorphosis, God, that we would never have known had we not taken the steps. God, I'm so grateful that, Lord, everything we need for life and godliness is in you, and it's in us. It's in the Holy Spirit. And we may not know how to access everything all the time, but Lord, it doesn't take away from the fact that everything we need for life and godliness is in us, in the Spirit. Holy Spirit, so I ask that you come and step in, and Lord, I ask that you recognize each person here who has felt you lightly put a finger on something and have in their heart made a step to let go, to step into newness. Into holiness, into obedience, God. I pray that you will recognize that. And God, as James says, as we take steps toward you, you take steps toward us. Blessed God. I love it. As we sit here in your presence and we imagine a God who gets up off of his throne and steps toward us. Not waiting for us to make it all the way to you. You come running to us. God, I pray for a moment of freedom today. I pray that there will be things that will drop and hit the floor today that people will not pick up again. Miraculous, God. And I also thank you that for some, it'll be a process, God, and that it'll be a process of you unfolding your nature before them as every day they come to you for fresh grace and you give it. But Lord, we are not staying where we are. We are not stagnating. We are not settling. We are here to follow you and not fit you into our agenda. Oh God, we just recognize your holiness. We recognize your holiness. We want to worship you in the splendor of your holiness. You are perfect and you aspire to make us perfect. You aspire to make us free. You aspire to heal our brokenness. You call things that are not as though they are. You don't see the worst in us. You see the Jesus in us. And you are calling us to step into the fullness of that. We celebrate the call to fresh levels of holiness, God. We celebrate, God. And so, Father, I know that sometimes when the spoiled brat inside of each one of us cries at the moment we say no to our flesh, Lord, we ask for us just a wave of the presence of God to hit us and bring us joy in the no, and bring us joy as we say yes to Jesus. God, let our emotions line up with our decision. For some of us, let our brain functions line up with our decision, our bodies line up with our decision. God's special grace and mercy, Father, to press through and to find holiness and freedom, God. And I thank you, God, that you are refining us, which means you are beautifying us. You're not going to leave us partially completed. You will faithful to complete that which you started until the day of Jesus Christ. You are faithful. You are faithful, God. Yeah. Hallelujah. We rest in that faithfulness. Yes, God. Just be glorified today. We love you, God. And go with us this week. Monday might be a distraction. We don't want to be distracted. Keep our eyes on you, we pray. Yeah, in your precious name. Amen. Amen. Some of you want to sit in it. It's great. If you want to come up and just sort of sit on the front, we'll be ready. Operators are standing by. All right, you guys are dismissed. Thanks for coming.